The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
What does the new NFL TV deal mean for you? It's the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN2. Dr. Seuss all of a sudden over here. Who got in the Final Four? Who you got in it? Everyone got Gonzaga, I know. Everyone got Illinois, I know. Who else you got? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and more at Progressive.com. The NFL announces TV deals with ESPN, ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, and Amazon. The agreement keeps Sunday afternoon games on CBS and Fox, Sunday night games on NBC, that stays the same, and Monday night games on ESPN, with some games also airing on ABC. For the first time, Amazon will be the exclusive home for Thursday night games, which will also be on over-the-air channels in the competing teams' home markets. NFL Network will also air select games. ABC picks up 2 Super Bowls during the deal. Well, we're all very excited about that here at ESPN. ABC and ESPN, obviously Disney. The first in 2026 on ABC. The other networks air 3 each. The agreement also calls for additional flex options to move better matchups into primetime slots on Sundays on NBC and, for the first time, Mondays on ESPN. So ESPN, here at ESPN, we keep the Monday Night Football package. We got 2 Super Bowls. Disney, by the way, can stream all NFL games that air on ABC and ESPN on ESPN Plus, according to the league. ESPN, let me just say something. I know, like, here's the fact of the matter. I wouldn't be saying this if I wasn't working on ESPN, right? But that's only because I wouldn't be allowed to say it. It's not because I didn't think it, but because I do happen to work on ESPN. I mean, if I worked somewhere else, they have certain products that I probably like that I'm not going to talk about here now on ESPN. But since I do work on ESPN, I'm just allowed to say it. It's not like anyone's saying, hey, tell them how great ESPN Plus is. ESPN Plus is so good. It's so good. Inject it right into my veins. Oh, it's so good. If you're a fight fan, if you're a football fan, UFC, boxing, basketball, Kobe Bryant, detail, like, you can't believe the stuff that's available. If I was in junior high school now, do you know what I used to have to do? And I'll get to the calls in a second. I used to literally, in high school, cut school because there was a McDonald's on like 27th Street. That used to play old Ali title defenses in the basement. You know, like some McDonald's have basements where you go down to the basement to get the food. And they would have old Ali title defenses, which you couldn't find anywhere. There was no internet. I used to cut school to watch, like, Muhammad Ali and Carl Mildenberger. That's what you had to do. In my day, you had to cut school and find a McDonald's on 27th Street to see. You go to if I had ESPN Plus... Well, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't have gotten an education. I wouldn't know anything except, you know, Joe Montana details and stuff like that. Oh, it's so good. And now you got Disney being able to stream all NFL games that air on ABC and ESPN on ESPN Plus. Ooh. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. DeVille, is that how you say it in Wisconsin?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you. How do you say your name?
DeVille.
DeVille, okay. Like a Cadillac, DeVille?
Yeah, just like that, yeah.
Gotcha. They
call me Coop DeVille at work.
Gotcha.
Max, my comment is about the guy Kendrick Perkins, man. It seems like every time I see him on your show, First Take or whatever, he's always hating on Giannis, man. LeBron ain't win his first title until he was 28. Michael Jordan ain't win his first title. He was 28.
Well, this is my point about Giannis.
Teams out here now.
My point is about that's my point about Giannis. You're right. If in the absence of super teams, you could put more pressure on him. But in the presence of super teams, meaning at least 2 MVP caliber players on the same team, let alone the Nets who have that plus Kyrie Irving who's playing just about at an MVP level this year, right? If KD gets back. If you have that, you can't expect Giannis to beat that without another real superstar on his team. Yeah, Hakeem got 1 chip. He got 2 altogether, but the second one was with Drexler. But 1 chip by himself. Like, yeah, nice players. Sam Cassell, Robert Horry, Kenny Smith. Like, nice players, but not superstars. Well, that was because Jordan retired. So he was playing Patrick Ewing and another team without two superstars. But in Giannis's case, he's playing in a division where Philadelphia has two guys, Embiid and Simmons. And whatever you think of Simmons, he's not just an all-star. He's more than that. And Brooklyn with three guys. And so I get your point, DeVille in Wisconsin. What's up, Coop? I get your point. If they call him Coop DeVille, then Coop, I guess, would be the first name. I get your point that it's not that there's no pressure on Giannis to ever win a championship. It's that at this moment in his career, I love Drew Holiday, love PJ Tucker, love Chris Middleton. None of those dudes is an MVP caliber player, and great bigs, whether it's Kareem or Shaq, need another player just about as good as them who's not a big, who can ball handle, get his own shot, set up his teammates, and score. I'm sorry, Middleton's a nice player. He's not that. So I agree with you on the kind of unfair expectations on Giannis. You know, also, if you swapped Durant and Giannis, like just put Durant on the Bucks and Giannis on the Nets, expectations remain exactly the same, which is to say the Bucks wouldn't be good enough to beat the Nets. Kenny in Florida, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
What's up, Max?
What's up, Kenny?
I'm talking about what's up with y'all not showing Tampa Bay more love, man, after winning the Super Bowl, man. JPP and the defense snapping. Everybody always wants to talk about Tom Brady, man. Let's talk about that defense, man.
Well, we talk about the defense. We just did a segment on First Take the other day. Is it going to be more about the offense or the defense next year? Now, I said offense. It's not a disrespect to the defense. The defense is very good, very good. Shaq Barrett was the right guy to sign up to a deal, right? They got an excellent defense. No two ways about it. But if AB comes back, and you're talking about AB with a full year under his belt, basically, and Mike Evans and Godwin and Gronk and O.J. Howard, oh my God. There's no disrespect to the Bucks defense. They were balling. It's another brilliant move by the Giants. After JPP blew his hand up, they were like, all right, see you later, JPP. That's great. Where's the pass rush? Oh, it's in Tampa winning a Super Bowl. I forgot it's in Tampa winning a Super Bowl. Oh, give me. And have I mentioned, I have to bring it up every time I talk about Gettleman. I can't take it. I can't take when the mayors of New York are from Boston, and I can't take when the GM of the football team is from Boston. I can't take it. It's humiliating. It's humiliating. And by the way, at least Bloomberg, former mayor, had the decency to pretend he was a Yankees fan. De Blasio is just out and out a Red Sox fan as the mayor of New York? How did this happen? And Gettleman has to learn how to say the word quarterback like a regular person and decent human being, not like someone from Boston. Quarterback. What is that? Oh, ugh. Can't stand the sight of him. I wish him well. I know he's been sick. I hope he's in good health. I wish Gettleman and his family well, but oh, do I, a pox on your house, on your sports house. Wait a minute, that's my sports house, the Giants. I don't even know what to say. Can we get a GM? Could the Giants get a GM, please? By the way, should they sign ESPN's number one remaining free agent? Who could that be? Who should my Giants be targeting? Find out next on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. It's time for some straight talk. Your tax return could look different this year, but you're going to still hear a lot of noise about how you should spend it. So when the big carriers tell you to splurge on the latest nonsense, tune it out. With Straight Talk, you can get a Samsung Galaxy A51 for just $199. Plus, this is my favorite part, get the $45 unlimited talk, text, and data plan with no contract on America's best networks for up to 50% less. Tune out the nonsense and tune into Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless. No contract. No compromise.
The Max Kellerman Show. The podcast.
Do the Giants need ESPN's best remaining free agent? It's the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN2. Who you got in the final four? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Nets were in the zone this week. Get in the Zone is brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the Zone, AutoZone. I'll tell you what, the way James Harden's been playing this year, he was always a great scorer, but he is playing like a genius this year. There's something about floor vision that is different than any other basketball skill. That's when you feel like you're watching genius. Like, Michael Jordan's the greatest player ever. He was the most amazing to watch. But Michael Jordan did not give me the sense that I was watching a genius like the same way I got from Magic and Bird, because his court vision wasn't what those guys were. He's better than those guys. Rather have Jordan than those guys. Rather watch Jordan than those guys. I'm just talking about the sense you get in terms of the brilliance of the player. And James Harden as a scorer was pretty much unstoppable, you know, until it mattered most. But he's playing like at genius level this year, the way he's running the offense. It's not just like it was in Houston, because he has a better teammate in Kyrie Irving, you know. It turns out Russell Westbrook and Chris Paul, at least at the time that Harden played with them, not as good as this version of Kyrie Irving. The Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN2, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Should the Giants sign ESPN's best remaining free agent? Kenny Golladay, wide receiver. Age entering the 2021 season, 27. That's right in his prime. Golladay's contract year was a bust. Injuries forced him to miss 11 games. When healthy, however, Golladay showed he can be a number one big-time downfield receiver. Combined for 17 touchdown receptions in 2018 and 19, tied for the NFL's seventh most over that span. What's crazy is what the Giants are missing right now on the offense is a number one wideout. Golladay fits the bill. You know, I don't know if you could get your hands on a guy like Odell Beckham Jr. I don't know if they have enough to trade for him. Oh, wait a minute. Well, at least we got Zeitler out of the... Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, Golladay is a good fit on the Giants. They need to... they need a number one wideout. They need a better pass rush. And they still need to work on that offensive line. This ain't that hard, guys. 10 years, you don't have an offensive line? You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Shame! Shame, Dave Gettleman. How long did it take to make an offensive line? Look, here's the truth. When Brian Kenny and I used to host Friday Night Fights on ESPN2 way back in the day, 98, 99, the truth was I could have walked into any baseball front office. I'd have been a top five GM in baseball that day. It was not hard because everyone was stupid. GMs did not know what the hell they were talking about. I don't pretend I could do that anymore, because now GMs are really smart. And not only that, they have a whole staff from MIT who's really smart. No, you can't do that anymore. But it's not hyperbolic. It's not me bragging even. In 1998, 1999, I'd have been a top five GM on day one in baseball. I would never make that claim at any point in my life about the NFL. But I can tell you this. If you made me in charge of an NFL team, I'd fix the offensive line in a given 2 or 3 years. I promise you. It's not that hard. Maybe it is for the Giants, but it's an issue of drafting, that's one, and development is two. I don't know. I see guys like Flowers leave the Giants and they seem to get better. Drafting is one, and development is two. The Giants can't develop an offensive line to save their lives. I can't spend my second straight day talking about this, though. I devoted like a whole segment to it yesterday. But this is, you know, it really, really bothers me. Richard in Manhattan, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Max, today is 55 years ago, the college basketball team from University of Texas Western, then became University of Texas El Paso, started five black players and won the NCAA tournament. I remember the game. They beat Kentucky. Kentucky had Pat Riley. Mm-hmm. They had Dan Issel. But what I really remembered after that, That team had only two guys who went to the pros, Willie Wally and Dave Latin, and they really never made it. Neither one made it in the NBA a little bit, one in the NBA, never started, didn't have long careers. But that was the first time in NCAA history that I remembered from the early 60s on that a real team won the tournament without having, not only not having a superstar, not having a star. You have to remember, back then, Bill Russell, Oscar Robertson, Walt Hazard, Gail Goodrich, Jerry Lucas, John Havlicek.
Yeah.
Those were the guys winning. This team was a true, true team.
All right, listen, since you brought it up, because we have about 15 seconds, coming up, I'm going to tell you a quick story, because the Boston Celtics, actually, were the first team to start five black players. I want to tell you a quick story about that. L.A., how many MVPs should LeBron already have? Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast. This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
Yo, L.A., can the Bruins keep it rolling? I'll ask UCLA alum John Ireland, voice of the Lakers, in a few minutes. It's the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN 2, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. You know, you sometimes know you're going through an era in your life where you're going to look back at it and be like, as Clemenza told Tom Hagen in The Godfather before he had to off himself to take care of his family. There was all kinds of stuff going on in The Godfather. He said, it wasn't Clemenza. Sorry, it was what's his name? Frankie Five Angels. Anyway, he said, Frankie Pentangeli. He said, those were the great old days, Tom. When Max and Marcellus was on in L.A., and we used to do crosstalk with Mason in Ireland, I knew at the time, I'm like, these are the great old days. I knew it at the time. I was right. It's always good to talk to John Ireland. So what I was going to tell you before we get to Melo and what LeBron just did and all that from last night and MVPs, the reason I'm aware that the Celtics were the first team to start five African-American players is because one day I was uptown hanging out at a spot with Eric B. of Eric B. and Rakim fame, and Melly Mel. And Melly Mel was my first, like, if you did the lineage of the title in hip-hop, Melly Mel probably the first undisputed champion. You know, like, went from him to Run DMC as a group to LL to Rakim, right? Like, you could trace the lineage all the way to Jay-Z. The point is, Melly Mel was a huge fan when I was a kid. There were only, like, six rappers back then, right? So so each one was more, loomed larger in your imagination. And Melly Mel's there. He's wearing a Celtics jacket. I'm like, hold up, time out. It's a dude, like, uptown wearing a Celtics jacket, New York City. Celtics, first team to start five black players, always been a Celtics fan. A lot of people are like that, like, on the low Celtics. Think about that, Boston. First team to do it. Melo was excellent. LaMelo Ball is quite a guy, quite a player, to be 19 years old and playing more or less at all-star level. Maybe not quite their overall game yet, but pretty close if he's not an all-star caliber player already. He's 19. Look at that, through 40 career games. Points per game, LeBron 20-16 over LaMelo. Field goal percentage, LaMelo 45%-42 over LeBron. Three-point percentage, LaMelo 38%-27% over LeBron. Rebounds per game, LeBron 6-8. Same, on the nose, 5.9 each. Assists per game, 6.2 each. Now, that's saying something. And Anthony Edwards dropped 40 last night, and he's more physically spectacular. But Edwards isn't even playing at average NBA starter level yet. LaMelo's better than that. As I said, if he's not an all-star, he's the next thing to it already. And his court vision, remember when I said, 20 minutes ago? Court vision is the thing more than anything that makes you feel like you're watching a genius. You feel that way with LaMelo. Lakers fans know what I'm talking about because that was supposed to be D'Angelo Russell, right? His court vision and passing. And he was very good, but not great. And then Lonzo Ball was supposed to be D'Angelo Russell 2.0 that way for the Lakers, both drafted second. And he was excellent, but also something less than a genius. LaMelo looks like a genius to me, like a genius court, you know, level court vision. You get a sense of it. Like, you know, Jokic for a big, you're like, damn, that guy can pass. There's so many great point guards in the league, but among them, LaMelo's court vision and passing ability is crazy. So is LeBron's, and LeBron was the best player on the floor last night. LeBron's the MVP at this moment in the season. He really is the MVP. When Kyle Kuzma says, hey, he should already have 7 or 8 MVP awards, maybe he deserves more than the 4 he got, but a lot of them that he didn't win was because he had his eyes on the prize. When you play in the finals every year, you got to reserve something, some gas in the tank. So he would take it easy on the defensive end a bunch of years. Not on the Lakers. He's playing defense. AD challenged him to do it. He's been doing it. But his return to Cleveland, he really took the foot off the gas on the defensive end. And there was a year where Steph Curry won the MVP and deserved it. Regular season. I mean, who cares about the regular season? They shouldn't even give out a regular season MVP award. But they do. KD won one and deserved it. That's 2. James Harden won one and deserved it. That's 3. Giannis deserved at least one of his. That's 4. I mean, like, you know, in recent years, in fact, in the regular season, LeBron hasn't deserved it. But there were MVPs years back that he did. He should probably be working on his, like, 6th at least right now. Maybe 7th, maybe. But he does deserve it so far this year. Embiid would have, but he's missed too many games at this point. He missed some games early, and now he's out for a couple weeks. LeBron's missed 1 game. He's 162 years old. AD misses time. KD's out forever. Embiid is out now. Not LeBron. Harden didn't start on the team he's playing on now and kind of played his way out of Houston. LeBron's been there every game but one before the All-Star game at his age, and he plays both ways. He's a real two-way player. He's the MVP. Who's even close? You know who I think is? Look, Jokic is having a great year. But you know who I think is close? Or the guy most likely to do it? In a sneaky kind of way, Damian Lillard. Because he's kept his team afloat through all the injuries. He's dropping 30 a game. He's universally recognized as the most clutch player. He has a huge cult following. He's considered the team leader, the guy you want. The leader and the character guy who's also dropping 30 a game and winning all by himself. I think if there's a guy who's going to win MVP who's not LeBron, a lot of people are talking about Harden. I don't blame them. I think it's Damian Lillard. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Well, do we have John Ireland there right now? Is John waiting already? Oh, look at that. John, prompt, early. That's why he's the voice of the Lakers, Raj. You can't be the voice of the Lakers. Maybe the Clippers or something like that. You can't be showing up 5 minutes late and be the voice of the Lakers. John Ireland, Lakers play-by-play voice, host of Mason and Ireland, joins me on the Goodyear Hotline. John.
Max, how are you, man?
I'm good. I'm doing well. I'm watching some really good basketball be played on a very high level by a couple of young guys in LaMelo Ball and Anthony Edwards. I mean, Anthony Edwards is spectacular.
Yeah, I've had him over my last 2 games, Max. I had Edwards 2 games ago, and I had LaMelo last night. They're both great.
It's at 19. Can you imagine? 19 years old, they're doing this?
Well, have you seen the kid? The Lakers have the 20-year-old Talen Horton Tucker.
Yeah, Talen Horton Tucker I love since the preseason. But he's, John, to me, he's one of those guys. He can be a valuable NBA player. I don't think, just the way he's built, he's not going to be a star. But he's good. He's like, he can at least get his own shot, if not create for others, right? But he's just awkwardly shaped, I think, John.
Here's what I think when I see him, Max. I think he's got a lot of Jimmy Butler in him. Mm-hmm. I think he can get to the rim, and it doesn't really matter how you defend him. He shoots over the past 3 games, he's had double figures in every game. He had his career high 18 3 games ago. But he's shooting 64%.
Yeah.
And that's because he gets to the rim.
And
when he gets to the ring, he finishes. Yeah, he's great. But Edwards, LaMelo, the league is in such good shape moving forward. All those guys are great.
Meantime, speaking of young players, congratulations to your Bruins, John. How are you feeling about things?
Man, Max, I thought they lost that game about 4 different times.
Yeah.
And I'm really happy for Mick Cronin, who came out here, and you know, he was one of those guys that was like the 5th choice. They tried to get every big name in the business. And so he comes out here, he draws Michigan State. Michigan State, basically a home game for them. They'd been in Indianapolis for a week. And UCLA, you know, they had lost four games in a row going into the tournament. They were on a four-game losing streak. And to come from 14 down was something else. I don't know how they'll do tomorrow against BYU, but that one win was their best win of the season.
John Ireland, Lakers play-by-play voice, host of Mason and Ireland on the Goodyear Hotline, Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, in ESPN 2 today. Are we still on ESPN 2, Roger? Are we on ESPN Plus now? You don't even know, do you? John, how many MVPs should... Now, I think it's ridiculous to give out an MVP in the regular season because at this point with playing games, fully two-thirds of the league are still playing after the regular season. Like, if you're an MVP candidate, there's no way your team's not at least in the playing game, right? Nevertheless, right. They have a regular season MVP. LeBron has four. Clearly, he deserves more than four, but how many? How many should... LeBron right now is the MVP of the league, considering Embiid's injury. I'd say he's the front runner right now. How many should he have already, John?
Well, it depends. I mean, if you ask that question, Max, about Michael Jordan, couldn't we say 10 or 11?
10.
Michael Jordan was the best player in the league every year he played in the league, and that's LeBron.
Yeah.
I mean, other than those first 2 years when he was getting his feet wet, the players know who the real MVP is. If you were going to have a draft to win right now, to win the playoffs right now, and that's all that mattered was the next month, wouldn't you take LeBron?
Yeah,
I mean,
I would take
LeBron. He's 36, and you would take LeBron. I mean, and by the way, he's revving it up. I heard you talking, and he's only missed one game all year. These four games since the All-Star break, he's averaging 25, 8, and 10 while shooting 56% from the field and 44% from three. I mean, he's just controlling these games by himself. And, you know, one thing that he's not getting enough credit for is the Lakers are beating teams now without Anthony Davis. And when Dennis Schroeder and LeBron play, and AD doesn't, all right, so if he's got his third best player, who's Schroeder, the Lakers are 12-1.
Is that good?
That's all LeBron. I mean, that's to answer your original question. To me, I think LeBron's the MVP, and then you can have an argument over who's second.
Yeah, I agree. LeBron is clearly the best player still and is the MVP of the league at this moment. You mentioned Jordan should have had 10. LeBron,
right. You know, Kobe only won one.
I want to ask you about, but that's where I'm going. I want to ask you about Kobe. Do you, like, what is the feeling in Lakers Nation right now? Because Kobe straddled two eras, and the statistics, the advanced statistics, don't really capture his greatness because the three-point shot is so, it's everywhere. It's so important now, and Kobe wasn't a great three-point shooter because he didn't need to be in his era. Had he needed to be, he's a very good free-throw shooter, good mid-range shooter. He would have been a better three-point shooter had he been playing today, but he didn't. So the advanced analytics underrate him by a little bit. It fails to capture, really, his greatness. And now LeBron is around, and he's doing things, you know, at an unprecedented old age, considering the level he's playing at, even more than Kareem.
Right.
And so LeBron's the one being compared to Jordan all the time. LeBron has won a championship with the Lakers fans. That's ingratiated himself to Lakers Nation. But Kobe tragically passed about a year ago, a little more. And I wonder what the feeling is. Like, if you took the temperature of the feeling toward LeBron and the fact that he's getting all this adulation and comparisons to Michael Jordan, and Kobe's not at the moment, how do you think Lakers fans are feeling about that right now?
LeBron endeared himself to Laker fans forever by doing two things. The first thing was, when he came to the Lakers, he ran towards Kobe. Mm-hmm. He didn't run away from him. I mean, he was very welcoming when Kobe would come to the games. You know, they spoke very highly of each other. And when Kobe passed, LeBron was one of the key people who, you know, the moment I think a lot of Laker fans will remember, Max, is when they played their first. Remember, Kobe died, and then they canceled the next game because nobody.
Isn't it even
play.
Hard to say that? Like, I have to use euphemisms. It's hard
right.
for me to say the D word. You know, it's unbelievable. It's still like too painful.
And if you go back and watch that game, it was LeBron who grabbed the mic to talk to the crowd, and he pulled out a speech. And when he looked around the building, he ripped it up and talked from his heart. And I think he endeared himself to Laker fans forever. He felt what they felt. And, you know, they've been teammates on the Olympic team, and they knew each other. You know, Max, you and I used to talk all the time how we kind of got, you know, we never got the Kobe-LeBron finals that we all thought we were going to get. There were two or three years where it looked like it was going to happen. It just never worked out. But when Kobe fully, you know, he had that unbelievable career, and then when LeBron fully embraced Kobe when he became part of the Lakers, that endeared to Laker fans, and then he won a title. You know from when you lived here, the Laker fans judge you by, can you win the title?
That's it.
And when LeBron did that, he was in the club. And now, you know, if you ask me who the greatest Laker is of all time, I think it's a two-man debate.
Magic and Kobe.
It's Kobe or Magic, right.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Kareem started in Milwaukee. LeBron had success other places. You know, Kareem and Magic were lifetime Lakers. My buddy James Worthy was there, but he, I would say, is a notch. Even James would say he's a notch below those two guys.
Sure.
It's Kobe or Magic. And because Kobe was such a comet, was such this unbelievable attraction to go watch play, and he played for 20 years. Remember, Magic had his career cut short by the HIV virus, but Kobe played 20 years. Every year he played, he was a Laker. To answer your original question, Kobe's never going to be shoved to the back or out of the conversation. He's always got his own pet. You know, Max, the guy has two numbers retired on the wall at Staples.
Yeah.
I don't know if that'll ever happen for another player.
I totally agree. I think you're dead on. And I think that Lakers legends have a good way of supporting each other's memories and legacies and all that, because everyone's pulling in the same direction. I'm just wondering, there's a certain, like, there are Kobe fans. And there are Lakers fans. And the Venn diagram, there's a huge shaded area, right? A lot of them are both. But there are also Kobe fans first before anything else, right? It's the kind of impression he left on people when you watched, when your eyeballs were on him. He was Michael Jordan, but in a Lakers uniform. I just wonder how the fans feel, the Kobe fans, feel about the kind of level of attention LeBron's getting. But what you seem to be saying is they're all pulling in the same direction because LeBron ran toward Kobe, because he's now won a championship. He has been fully accepted into the Lakers fold.
Right. And LeBron's a Laker now in the eyes of the fans here. You know, he could have gone anywhere and he decided to come here. And everybody said, you remember the narrative at the time? Oh, he's basketball is now not that important.
Yep, I thought
he's coming out here to enhance his business brands and to get into movies and acting. And he's going to, you know, basketball is not going to be important to him anymore. That was never true. I mean, LeBron's big thing is he always says, keep the main thing the main thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the main thing for him is winning titles. And he knows everything else follows that. So he's been great, Max, on and off the court since he's been here.
Yeah, he's a remarkable guy.
And the fact that he's winning at the level he's winning, and I'm going to say something that you're going to think I'm crazy.
Hmm.
LeBron was first-team all-defense five times early in his career.
Yep.
He's playing that way as a defender
year. I agree. He should be on an all-defensive team. I credit AD for that. He preserved himself in Cleveland. I think he realized after Miami, if I play at this level of intensity, Pat Riley, Eric Spoelstra, I won't be able to win the title every year. I'm going to the finals every year. So he took his foot off the defensive gas in the regular season in Cleveland. AD has challenged him on that side. And no question, LeBron's a great two-way player again. Like, on a nightly basis, if you watch him, he is absolutely a great defender. Before you get out of here, John, here on the East Coast now, I'm in New York now, there's a lot of worry about Kevin Durant and the Achilles and the fact that, you know, where is he and is he going to come back and will he be KD when he gets back? What is the concern level with AD in L.A. right now? Because of COVID, I have not been in L.A. in a while. And, I'm trying to take the temperature of that town as it relates to concern for AD's injury, because that's the whole shooting match right now.
Right. I think, Max, that it's minimal at this point, because when the word Achilles is in any type of injury description, and when he first went down, it was sore Achilles, and there were reports coming out of his camp that the sheath around the outside of his Achilles was strained. Anytime the word Achilles is in anything, you want to proceed with caution.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what both the Lakers and the Nets are doing. I think that neither one of them wants to throw those guys back out on the court until absolutely necessary. And I was looking at the schedule today. We play the Celtics on April 15th, which is obviously a big game. Lakers-Celtics is a big game. It was a one-point game when we beat them in Boston earlier this year. It'll be a big game when they do the rematch at Staples Center. If AD comes back for that game, and so that's April 15th, 3 weeks from now, which maybe I may be overly cautious here. They say he's going to get, you know, updated again in 2 weeks. But if he came back on the 15th, he would still play 18 games before the playoffs. And I think you would agree with me, if Durant's healthy and AD's healthy, those two are overwhelming favorites to meet in the finals.
Of course.
regardless of anything else. I know, you know, Utah got off to an unbelievable start.
There's no answer for LeBron and AD in the West if they're both healthy.
And it would match. It would max up a matchup. The number one defense, the Lakers defensively are the number one defense in the league by far this year. They're number one in defensive efficiency. They're top five in blocks and half-court defense. And any way you look at it, they're great. And AD's their best defender. It would be the best defense in the NBA against a historically good offense if Kyrie, Harden, and Durant are all playing.
Oof.
It would be a fascinating finals because that would really determine what wins championships.
The only thing I'll say is this. Schroeder's a nice player. It's a little unfair. Brooklyn has KD and Harden. LA has LeBron and AD. And then Brooklyn has Kyrie, too. It's still like LeBron is still up against. KD figures out a way to come at LeBron with overwhelming firepower. He did it in Golden State. He's doing it again in Brooklyn if he can get back on the court. The great John Ireland, ladies and gentlemen, you can hear him on 710 ESPN in LA calling Lakers games with Michael Thompson. And also, you're on with a fella, Steve Masson. Is that French? How do you pronounce that last name?
He's just looking for attention. So, Masson. He's changing something every week. I don't know what he'll do today.
Yes. Well, yes. Masson in Ireland is right after my show.
I love that.
Here in L.A. Thanks, John. Always
Max,
love it when you call
anytime,
on, brother.
Man. Be good. See ya.
Did Andy Dalton just diss Trubisky? No Doubt's next. Recent data shows that out of all female-owned businesses, it is estimated that 1 in 3 is owned by a mom. CEO and founder Talia Goldstein is one such mompreneur. That's what they're calling it, mompreneurs. She needs to hire several matchmakers a month for her personalized matchmaking company, so she uses ZipRecruiter. Their technology helps her find the right people for her job and quickly. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the very first day. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/max. That's ZipRecruiter.com/MAX, no doubt, coming up.